Welcome to the America's Workforce Radio Podcast, the flagship production of the American Workers Radio and Podcast Network, where organized labor and its never-ending fight to protect the rights of the American worker come first. Now, presented by LIUNA, Laborers International Union of North America, here's your host, Ed Flash Ferens.
And welcome to the Monday, May 31st edition of America's Workforce, where we are available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, as well as Pandora. Hard to believe, but it's 1 year now that we started our national podcasting of this show called America's Workforce. And in the last year, we've seen a lot of downloads. We certainly appreciate that. This show does have a history going back to 1993, and I've been the host of America's Workforce now since 1998. Hard to believe. Wow. Well, it is Memorial Day, and we have two guests to reflect on this very, very special day. Our first guest is Will Attig, no stranger to the show. He's been on a number of times. He heads the Union Veterans Council. Unionveterans.org is their website. And he's going to talk about the meaning and significance of Memorial Day and how it reflects to union members. And I'll tell you what he's going to do and what our second guest is going to do is going to talk about mental health. May is Mental Health Month. And you talk about this day, Memorial Day, and we honor the fallen soldiers, the ones who served our country and did not come back. There are many soldiers that did come back and are dying every day due to suicide. And the numbers are all over the place. I'm hearing 17 a day, 22 a day. It doesn't really matter. What matters is that we do something about it. And both of our guests are going to talk about that. And I'll tell you, Will was in that category. Here's a guy, combat vet. He served in the Army during the global war on terrorism, where he deployed or was deployed multiple times with 126, what's called the Infantry Regiment of the Blue Spaders. And when he got home, he struggled to transition into civilian life. You know what got him through it? Helmets to hard hats. Helmets to hard hats, a veteran training program with the National Building Trades. And he became a union pipe fitter. As an apprentice, he began volunteering his time to advocate for veterans' issues in his home state in Illinois and just went right up the ladder. And now he's head of the Union Veterans Council. He had that position for 4 years, representing 1.2 million veteran workers across America with a focus on providing gainful employment for our vets. His mission? Engage, educate, and mobilize the veterans community by giving veterans the tools, the platform, and self-empowerment to advocate for issues that matter most to them at a local and national level. And he's got results. He's got a lot of results. He's going to talk about that. So Will Attig, great guy, a fighter. He's going to be our first guest. Mike Hazard will be joining us later in the show. And Mike comes from the United Association of Plumbers, Pipe Fitters, Welders, and Service Techs, UAVIP.org. And VIP stands for Veterans in Piping. And we've featured Mike on the show a number of times. This is a program. He's going to give us some specifics on it. The VIP program offers high-quality skills, training, and jobs. That's the key part. And jobs in the pipe trades to active-duty military personnel preparing to leave the service. So you're not even out of the service, and they're getting you ready for a job in piping. Veterans in Piping. They've been doing this since 2008, and he's got some numbers on that. He'll bring us up to speed. The UAVIP program has been recognized as one of the leading programs in the country for assisting veterans, and they're pretty honored about that. If you want to get some more information on that, we encourage you to stay listening to the show, but just go to UAVIP.org, UAVIP.org. And there's phone numbers, there's a bunch of information on what you can do. And he, too, is going to talk about May being Mental Health Awareness Month, and the very fact that in the trades, there's a high suicide rate. And frankly, we pre-recorded this show about a week and a half ago, and I was really taken back by our guests today because they're very, very sincere and dedicated to improving those that have come back to this country with problems. It could be post-traumatic stress disorder. It could be anything. But there is help out there. There is a lot of help out there. And you will hear that reflected in both of our guests. All right? All right. Right now, though, I have to take a break. Coming up next, the Union Veterans Council on America's Workforce.
This is America's Workforce. More shows available at awfradio.com.
It takes LIUNA to build North America's infrastructure. From roads and bridges to schools and skyscrapers, the men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, build the projects we depend on. From constructing the Freedom Tower on the site of the former World Trade Center to untangling Washington, D.C.'s congested interstate, LIUNA members do the work that matters. Find out what it takes to be built by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
The United Auto Workers are one of the largest and most diverse unions in North America, with members in virtually every sector of the economy. Learn more about this proud sponsor of our program at UAW.org.
The United Steelworkers of America represent over 70,000 workers in the state of Ohio. Steelworker members enjoy the benefits of some of the best contracts of any workers in the world. Many of your friends, neighbors, and relatives are members of one of the most effective democratic unions in our country. With the pressures unorganized workers are under in today's economy, you need to join them. So call the Steelworkers Organizing Office at 216-292-5683 or toll free at 1-800-443-3752.
Every 2 minutes, a child becomes a victim of sex trafficking in the U.S. It's happening right now. Don't change the channel. Don't cover your kids' ears. No matter how much you want to ignore it, child trafficking is real. In fact, it's happening in your town. And you know what our greatest weapon against child trafficking is? It's our children. It's time to act with PACT. That's Partners Against Child Trafficking. PACT works to teach students to identify the warning signs of child trafficking so they can help other vulnerable kids around them. PACT student ambassadors receive in-depth training on the issue and design a project to raise awareness, reduce victimization, and disrupt demand. Any student around the world can sign up for PACT's online training program and learn how to stop child trafficking. Go to PACT.city to sign up for the one-hour course today. With PACT, we declare not one more victim.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And welcome back to the show. Don't forget you can check us out on Facebook, AWF Union Podcast, which is also our Twitter handle. All right, let's go to line number one. And I have to apologize not only to our next guest, but to our listeners, because today is Memorial Day. And it seems that we have Will Adding on the show twice a year. We have him on Memorial Day, and then we have him on Veterans Day. Of course, Will heads the Union Veterans Council, so that's why we do these kind of things. Website, by the way, is unionveterans.org. But you know what? I was thinking to myself, and Will, you can chime in here at any time. You know, for a veteran, it seems every day should be Veterans Day. I mean, considering what the vet has done to keep our country safe, I am going to call every day Veterans Day. How does that sound, my brother?
Well, you know, I'm okay with it not being veterans every day if people would really, you know, try and work to solve some of the problems that the veterans community have that comes home. You know, we get a lot of thank you for our service in words, and people put stickers on their cars, but you know, the reality of it, you know, even though many of our veterans thrive, many of them struggle, and we've got some serious issues that we need to address. And if we could solve some of the veterans' problems that are existing today, I would take that as a win over having a Veterans Day every day. But if you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah. And my whole point is we just can't do enough. That's the whole issue here. We can't do enough. You have laid your life down for this country, and I salute every veteran that is listening right now to this show. And another thing, too, you know, when we had you on a year ago, on Veterans Day. That was when we launched. It actually started June 1st, right after that. We started our podcasting, and it has exploded, Will. I mean, we're on 5 platforms now: Apple, Google, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Pandora. So the message is getting out there. That's my point. The message is getting out there, and we want to make sure that the veterans get the support that they need. So that being said, let's talk about the Union Veterans Council. And on your website, it's real simple, unionveterans.org. The Union Veterans Council brings working class veterans together to speak out on issues that impact us most, especially the need for good jobs and a strong, fully funded and staffed VA. I mean, that says it all right there. So how we stand here? How do we stand in America in 2021 with the Union Veterans Council, Will?
Well, thanks again for having me on, especially on this day, which is Memorial Day. And you know, what I'm really excited about today is that, you know, for veterans, Memorial Day is a very special day to us. This isn't about beer and barbecue. This isn't about the start of summer. For especially combat veterans, this is a day to remember their fallen brothers and sisters. And to also celebrate their lives. And earlier today in Pittsburgh, we had our Union Veterans chapter had an event, a ceremony for fallen veterans of America. And it's just one of many events that has happened in the last few weeks. The New Jersey Union Veterans Council went out and laid flags at one of the national cemeteries, and led by Charlie Wolkanek, the president of the AFL-CIO there, as a show of respect for our fallen service members. But you know, to me today, you know, to start off, we just got to make sure we recognize what today's about. And today's about young men and women that decided to serve their country and to in turn defend their brothers and sisters to their left and right and try and do good in the world. And the ones that paid the ultimate sacrifice, those ones that gave their life for this country and most of the time for the person right next to them. This is a day to remember them. This is a day to not only remember them, but to remember the people who served with them that are changed for the rest of their lives, and the families of the fallen also. So, you know, the gravity of today, there has been members of unions in every conflict in American history, and we have a proud tradition of, you know, supporting our veterans when they come home. But the only reason a lot of folks come home is because people give that ultimate sacrifice. And when I think about Memorial Day, I think about, you know, the over 40 people I served with that I know passed with my unit, the Blue Spaders, during the global war on terror. And unfortunately, it doesn't end there. But that's really what it's about today, is really remembering the sacrifice, you know, that mostly young men and women gave to their country.
Will, if you'd be so kind to reflect and go back and refresh our listeners, as well as myself, on your service to the country. Will, you mentioned the global war on terrorism. Can you talk about that and how you were called to service?
Yeah, you know, I was in high school. I was in small town Illinois. And, you know, I wanted to be a history teacher. And the Iraq War started, and I right after 9/11, and I felt that I had a duty to serve. It was something I wanted to do personally. I wanted to try and do good in the world, and I felt that I could do that. I joined the Army, was an infantryman, did multiple deployments. And you think about, you know, going over the first time in 2004 as an 18-year-old kid to then leading soldiers during the surge, and you know, continuing to train and deploy, you know, after. The first, you know, 10 years of my early adulthood was very, very, very interesting time. And unfortunately, you know, the unit I served with, the Blue Spaders, with the 1st Infantry Division, we were one of the hardest hit units since Vietnam. And, you know, for us, units like that, the war just doesn't end when, you know, you come home. You know, we're all connected these days, and with the multiple deployments, you know, after I got out of the military, and I struggled when I came home, like so many other veterans of this generation, struggled to find jobs, struggled with substance abuse, you know, drinking too much, self-medicating. I struggled with, you know, the idea of not being able to, you know, reintegrate into society as fast as I wanted to or needed to at the time, coming home during the recession. And lucky enough, I found a pathway for myself to not become a statistic through finding a job. And then through that job, I began to advocate for fellow veterans because I realized that if we can give a veteran a job, if we can get them their feet on the ground when they come home from serving their country, we can do so much for them. It's the best medicine in the world for a veteran because you know, during Memorial Day, we think about the people who we lost on the battlefield. Mm-hmm. And the reality of it, our community is facing another battlefield, and that's at the home front, and that is a war against suicide and drug addiction and overdose that is plaguing my generation of veterans. And to me, we need to do just as much for our veterans back home so we don't have to have more of them remembered next Memorial Day, you know, right now. And that's what one of my major messages this year for this Memorial Day is that we need to pay attention to the community that did make it home, that were sacrificed for by the individuals who died during the wars, and make sure we're taking care of these veterans so that they can live their lives out, you know, with at least some kind of dignity and stability.
Mm-hmm. And Will, you indicated you almost became one of those statistics. So thank you for sharing that. And let's talk about that, if you don't mind, because that transition, I mean, you see a lot and you saw a lot in over in the Middle East there. That was tough. And that adjustment is very, very difficult. In your case, you worked your way out of it. You mentioned the job. Let's talk about that part and how, well, you had a brotherhood in the military. You have a brotherhood with unions. So you got some commonality there. Can you share that transition with us, Will?
Yeah, I mean, so it's difficult, you know. So I was a trained infantry expert. My job was to lead soldiers to do combat operations in a counterinsurgent environment in Iraq and Afghanistan. And, you know, you get so much responsibility. As a poor kid from Southern Illinois, you know, I didn't have much growing up. I got responsibility. People looked up to me. You know, people treated me like a hero when I came home. But, you know, with that, you get a lot of other things. You get, you know, you have mental health issues. You have, you know, there's self-medication that a lot of soldiers, you know, you do to take care of themselves. And when I came home, you know, you just don't come home. It's kind of almost like a restart, because for the last 7 years of your life, in my case, you know, was almost just like it just didn't exist, because I lost a lot of early adulthood development because, you know, you're not paying bills. You're not doing things like that. You're every minute of every day is making sure to prepare for the next deployment, the next fight. So when I came home, you know, at the time, the VA wasn't quite equipped. Society wasn't quite equipped. Everybody wanted to say thank you for your service. And especially at that time, it was in the middle of the recession. And, you know, to me, I think some of the hardest things that we overlook is the loss of purpose when a veteran comes home. You know, when you're in the military, you have purpose. And a lot of our veterans never had that before they got in the military. They gained it in the military. They gained that responsibility, and then you leave the military, and now you're just kind of that kid again, it seems like. So, mm-hmm. What I was lucky enough to do was find a good job, and not just a good job, but you know, I was able to go through a program with fellow veterans through the UA and the Helmets and Hard Hats, and you know, that was really the start of my recovery, my reintegration into, and it didn't just end then. You know, it took a, you know, many years of struggling to get your feet back underneath you, but you know, having that stability of that job and security was just so important.
I'm glad you mentioned the UA, because our next guest is from the UA. We're talking with Mike Hazard, and he's going to reference the Veterans in Piping program that they do. Very, very successful program. So there's some similarities there, and that's what we're trying to call attention to on this Memorial Day. So you made that transition. The trades helped you out. I'm just wondering what else we can do. I mean, this is still difficult. We still have a problem with suicides in America. The last stats I saw was something like 20 vets a day committing suicide. I don't know if that number has dropped any, but still, even one is too much. Will, what's the Union Veterans Council doing about that as far as outreach to that community?
Well, you know, thanks for asking. And the most important thing we're doing is we're trying to engage and then educate. So what we're trying to do is create programs and information to share with union members, and not just union members, but union members that are veterans, but some that may have families too. You know, the mothers and fathers of veterans that are home, or the brothers and sisters and cousins. And we want to bring as much awareness that we have to start talking about these issues, suicide, especially in mental health. And the reality of it, it's not just for the veterans community. You know, as a whole, we need to talk about this as a society. You know, and when you think about the building trades, there's a high rate of suicide in the building trades too. But mm-hmm. The most important thing is to educate veterans that there's help out there, and to make sure that they understand that, you know, when you start to feel crisis, reach out to somebody that you trust, no matter what the situation is. When you start to feel you're in crisis, you know, reach out. If you're struggling with prescription medication dependencies or alcohol dependencies, there's programs at the VA that you can go to, the, you know, va.gov, search substance abuse. There's programs for our veterans that they can get into very quickly. The same with mental health. We have outstanding mental health in the Veterans Administration. You know, unfortunately, at the time when a lot of veterans came home from the main part of Iraq, the VA wasn't quite set up for them, and they got a bitter taste in their mouth. It's mm-hmm. improved greatly since then. And what I would also say is that if you had a bad taste, if you're a veteran, go back to the VA. Give them another shot. Try and work through it. But be proactive about your life. Get involved with
them. Yeah.
You know, that's so important. And if you have an opportunity to support a veteran, you know, don't hand out, not yellow ribbons, but find ways to give opportunities to our veterans to lead. And you'll see that community thrive.
Well said, my man. Yeah, there's some great resources at the Veterans Administration, and they need to be utilized. I know they could use more staffing. In fact, they just did a show on that recently with the American Federation of Government Employees, and they're trying to bring those numbers up. I mean, nationwide, we're looking at about 40,000 vacancies at the VA. So hopefully under the Biden administration, that's going to change in the next coming years. Well, Will, I have to take a quick break. Will Adig is joining us on our live line for a special salute to all veterans on this Memorial Day. And Will is the executive director of the Union Veterans Council. If you don't know about this group, you need to find out more about them. And there's a lot of good videos on their website, too, unionveterans.org. And speaking of veterans, coming up later in the show, we're going to talk about veterans in piping. Mike Hazard will be joining us on behalf of the United Association of Plumbers, Fitters, Welders, and Service Techs. It's all part of America's Workforce. Back in a few minutes.
This is America's Workforce.
It takes LIUNA to power North America with affordable energy. The men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, have the skills needed to build and maintain oil, natural gas, nuclear, solar, and wind projects that are shaping America's energy future. From new energy tech to retrofitted facilities, LIUNA members do it all. Find out what it takes to be powered by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
Buildings, bridges, skyscrapers, and more. Structures that are the face of our cities and towns were built by members of the Iron Workers Union. That's why it's important that our workforce of over 130,000 iron workers continues to be the safest and best trained in the field. With 154 training centers, we invest over $90 million annually in safety and training. We're growing the next generation of union iron workers. There are so many reasons to put your trust in our iron workers and their employers. Learn more about us at ironworkers.org.
The Heat and Frost Insulators and Allied Workers are proud to be a title sponsor for America's Workforce Radio. The Insulators Union is leading the way in the mechanical insulation industry, fire stopping, and infectious disease control. Regarded as North America's energy conservation specialists, these professionals are known for their professional work and dedication. You can learn more about the Insulators Union at insulators.org.
Chris LaGrange here, host of UCOM Live with Chris LaGrange. News, talk, sports, and workforce politics. The fastest growing podcast on, in, and around the internet. Join us live every Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter with archives on UCOMLive.com. Our loud and colorful panelists bring you current events like no other. So follow and subscribe today wherever great podcasts are found.
Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with prostate, breast, or any other cancer after taking Zantac? You may be entitled to compensation. The trial lawyers at Kelly & Ferraro may be able to help you. Find us at KellyAndFerraro.com. Kelly & Ferraro, trial lawyers.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
And we're back. Don't forget, you can check us out on five platforms. That includes Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, as well as Pandora. Well, as you know, it is Memorial Day, and joining us on our live line is Will Adig, who is the executive director of the Union Veterans Council. Website is unionveterans.org. I forgot to mention, too, they're also on Facebook, at Union Vets. And you can follow Will on Twitter, Will Adig, two T's in Adig, Will Adig. Follow him there. Well, we're talking about getting connected, reconnected for vets that get out of service. And there are jobs available out there, especially in the trades, the apprenticeship programs. You mentioned you went through the UA program. We're going to talk more about that with our next guest, Mike Hazard, who does the Veterans and Piping program. Great program there. But let's talk about the jobs that vets now have. And I want to circle on the post office here. And isn't it like one out of four workers at the postal office is a veteran of this country? Am I correct in saying that?
Yeah, and I think it's actually a little bit higher than that. It's over 30% of postal workers are veterans. And on top of that, it's all federal workers are around that. But they're one of the highest employers of veterans with disabilities. So we have a lot of veterans that receive disability ratings from the military service, whether it's through combat or just, you know, training exercises, things like that. But, you know, that the Postal Service is a key place for those jobs. And really, you know, the veterans' preference and the idea of getting our veterans into these, you know, stable jobs, we're designed to make sure our veterans have that, you know, as a safeguard and a place that they can find good jobs.
Well, let's talk about the post office, because as you know, it's been beaten up, especially under the last administration, and mail sorting machines all of a sudden were taken out of various post offices. There's the guy in charge, and I don't know how long he's going to stay there. I know there's a shuffle with the Board of Governors, but what are you hearing? I mean, the morale, I got to be wondering how things are shaping up there. And I noticed on your website, you even have a post there, hold the Postal Service accountable. What's your take on what's going on, Will?
Well, I think that you've got a convergence of a few things. The strong idea of privatization, I would say the lack of support for our federal workers is another thing. But for the reality of it, the U.S. Postal Service has been under attack for decades now. This isn't something new. It kind of got exposed last year, and then, you know, the last administration really, really, you know, hammered down on the Postal Service, and I really think that there was an attempt to make it fail. But you've got to realize that the Postal Service is so incredibly important to American life, and it's enshrined in our Constitution. And, you know, whether it's the prescription drugs that the Postal Service delivers for our veterans to the jobs they provide, you know, it's critical. But we've seen all of this eroded. And this is both Democrats and Republicans that have done this. And it's just time that we need to start addressing it. You know, the idea that the Postal Service right now is not viewed on as the best option for a veteran job is kind of bad. The reality that veterans' preference is being misused and not used in the correct way because of the tier system and that has been created at the Postal Service. You know, things like that need to be addressed and changed. We're really looking forward to being able to advocate that on a national level to this administration and to the lawmakers to try and get these fixes to happen.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I know Biden has got his eye on it, and I think it's just a matter of time before things start changing and changing for the better there. So we'll see what's happening. But anything that you can do to nudge that needle in the right direction, that would be greatly appreciated. And I know Labor's been doing everything possible. We've been talking about it on the show so many times. Let's talk about jobs. And Biden has announced his infrastructure plan, which is a big boom for the trades, no doubt about that. And the other part about it is build back better with unions. there's not too many presidents that have boldly said that. And I think that's important. And that kind of segues into the PRO Act. And I noticed on your website, again, that's unionveterans.org, you're pretty visible about doing the outreach on the PRO Act. And the PRO Act, those of you listening right now, you should know about this, but it's the Protect the Right to Organize Act, which would be a revolutionary change when it comes to labor law in America. So with that being said, Mr. Attig, what's the plan here to get this thing passed?
Well, you know, for the folks that don't know, and I might talk about the PRO Act a little differently to other folks, but to me, the PRO Act is the most democratic, the most patriotic, most, you know, apple pie American bill you could ever think of. And why I say that is it's about opportunity. And it's not about opportunity for oneself, but for the ability to have an opportunity to help yourself, but also help your neighbor and your coworker, and in turn, help the entire society. We know that when we have a strong labor movement, when we have union representation, when we have collective bargaining, when we have the freedom for individual workers to band together and advocate for their collective future, we know we do better. And to me, that's what America's about. You know, there's a lot of headlines and bumper stickers that folks that don't like labor unions and don't like our politics use. And the thing is a lot of those are true. The wording on them are true, but the meaning behind them, the way they use them are not correct. You know, our country was never built on radical individualism. Our country has been built on Americans banding together and doing big, bold things, whether it's the Industrial Revolution, World War One, World War Two, sending someone to the moon. You know, we do big, bold things when we have the opportunity to do it. And right now, the PRO Act is the most bold piece of legislation for American workers in our lifetime. And what it's going to do is give the freedom to more workers to be able to have the opportunity to join a union. And right now, we know that there is a need for unions. The support for unions is at an all-time high. And what we need to make sure is that our elected officials understand that when the American people understand that labor is the pathway to the American dream that we talk about, that it's time for them to act. And it's time for us to really pass this real important legislation. And what it's going to do is give opportunities. These aren't handouts. These are opportunities in the form of protections for workers, the ability for workers to have free and fair elections, to be able to collectively bargain, to end outdated, you know, racist rules and laws like right to work for good. And mm-hmm. And to me, it's the fight that we're in as the Union Veterans Council, as people who defend democracy, you know, abroad. To me, it's our chance to fight for our fellow American workers right here, you know, on the home front.
Oh, yes. This is a moment. There's no question. Will, I was reading that you've been doing a lot of outreach on this. I see Arizona. There was a partnership with the Union Veterans Council in Alaska. This is all posted on the website, too. And I don't know if this happened already. There was a like a roundtable discussion, a pathway to the American dream. Did that happen already, or is that about to happen? What's the deal on that one?
It did happen. We had a day of action. The AFL-CIO hosted a week of action 2 weeks ago, and we took a day and we highlighted the importance of the PRO Act for the veterans community. And again, what we highlighted was, you know, the ability for these veterans to be able to find opportunities to succeed and live their lives out. You know, the ones that made it home, the ones that we don't have to remember on Memorial Days. You know, when we talk about, you know, a lot of veterans always say, you know, when you give your life for your fellow veteran, you know, you hope that they can, you know, you always say you live your life the best way you can. And, you know, a good union job through the PRO Act is going to be able to do that for so many.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we got to keep moving forward on that. I know there's a couple of Democrats that are still on the fence, and I know Labor's doing everything. I think it's just a matter of time before they all join in, and hopefully we get rid of that filibuster. We'll have the PRO Act. I mean, we're trying to make it happen. We're trying to make it happen, and we're trying to do it collectively. That's the most important part. Will, I think I got everything covered today. Did I miss anything? I mean, we covered a lot of ground today. Any thoughts here in wrapping up?
You know, to just circle real quick back on Memorial Day. You know, because it's, you know, we did get excited about, you know, legislation and things like that, but, you know, I just want everybody to remember that you know, today's really not about, you know, the barbecues and things. If you have a service member in your life, a veteran in your life, especially one that was in combat that lost friends, you know, just reach out to them. Don't thank them for their service. Just reach out to them, ask them how they're doing. And again, especially if you have a veteran in need or if you are a veteran in need, reach out to someone you trust. Find a hotline to call if you're in crisis. And if you're sitting there and you're down in a hole, you know, there's a bunch of us vets that are ready to reach down and pull you up. You just have to ask.
There you go. Well, Will, on behalf of all the people that put this show together, thank you for your service to our country. And thanks for being such a great guest here on America's Workforce. Union Veterans Council, 1 million union veterans, all connected to the AFL-CIO. unionveterans.org. I urge you to go to that website, read all about them, and also check out the videos that are so well done. So well done. All right, my man, you take care, stay safe, and let's do this again, all right?
Thank you, Ed. Keep spreading the word, sir.
Just love talking to that guy. Again, that was Will Adig, and he is the executive director of the Union Veterans Council. Over 1 million members. Unionvets.org is their website. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to link up with Mike Hazard, who runs the Veterans in Piping program. Back in a few minutes. Don't go away.
You're listening to America's Workforce with Ed Flash Ferens.
It takes LIUNA to keep America running. Over 70,000 public employees are part of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, delivering critical services such as healthcare and emergency response, as well as maintaining roads and sanitation systems. Even the National Postal Mail Handlers Union, representing over 47,000 U.S. postal workers, is affiliated with LIUNA. Find out what it takes for LIUNA to keep America running at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
Mesothelioma is a rare type of cancer caused by exposure to asbestos. If you are exposed to asbestos and have mesothelioma or lung cancer, the trial lawyers at Kelly & Ferraro may be able to help you. Find us at KellyandFerraro.com. Kelly & Ferraro, trial lawyers.
The AFL-CIO is a proud sponsor of America's Workforce Radio. United by efforts to raise wages, listeners to this show and workers all across America are beginning to turn a corner and drive the economic debate. The AFL-CIO is comprised of 12.5 million working people from 56 unions, but we stand with and fight for everyone who is working for a better life. For more information about our raising wages agenda, go to AFLCIO.org.
America's Workforce is sponsored in part by Boyd Watterson Asset Management, LLC. Find out more about our investment solutions tailored to meet the needs of Taft-Hartley funds at BoydWatterson.com.
America's Workforce appreciates our sponsor, the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, who represents more than 18,000 workers from 19 affiliated local unions and district councils.
I have an uncomfortable stat for you. 1 in 9 men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer. 1 in 9. In fact, prostate cancer is the second leading cause of death in American men. That hurts to hear. But you know what doesn't? There's a simple blood test your own doctor can give you to see if you're at risk. And this blood test, called the PSA, is definitely not a pain in the butt to get. Don't waste your time poking around the internet. To find out more about this test, go to PCF.org. For all the best info on prostate cancer prevention, go to PCF.org today.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And welcome back to the show. Don't forget, you can check us out on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle is at AWF Union Podcast. AWF Union Podcast. Let's go to line number two and welcome back to the show, Mike Hazard. Mike's been on before talking about the Veterans in Piping program, and this is part of the United Association of Plumbers, Fitters, Welders, and Service Techs. Website is uavip.org. And like I said, we had our first guest, Will Adig from the Union Veterans Council. We're trying to reach out to those who are helping vets, and no better way to help a vet is to give him or her a job. And that's what the Veterans Piping Program is all about. Hey, Mike, welcome back to the show. Thanks for joining us once again.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Always a pleasure. And anything that we can do for vets, you got our number here. We want to get it on the show. Let's backtrack a little bit and refresh our listeners about the Veterans in Piping Program. On your website, I'm seeing it, what, in 2008 is when it started. And what is it, over 1,000 veterans? Is that up to date? What's the story on that?
No, well, it is. Part of what you said is right. 2008 is when we started our Veterans in Piping program. And we put just over 2,500 graduates through the program. And those are graduates going out the door with guaranteed job placement and direct entry into our 5-year apprenticeship program. So, yeah, helping those transition from civilian job market is what the VIP program is all about. And, we keep it small. Those aren't huge numbers, but when you think of the guarantees that come along with it, it's a solid career and opportunity for anybody transitioning out of the service that's interested in the piping industry.
Well, I like this statistic. You place 100% of your VIP graduates in quality jobs with good pay. We're talking great benefits, health care, retirement benefits. I mean, 100%, you don't get much better than that, I tell you. That's really good. So obviously, you're getting out of it because you're putting a lot into it. Let's talk about the components and how this is designed. Can you get into the specifics of the program, Mike?
Sure, you bet. Yeah, so the UA offers this program 100% free of charge to service members and the government. It's paid for by our membership and our partner contractors. We invest about $250 million a year in training, and that's part of what pays for the VIP program. And we are targeting transitioning service members when they hit that 180-day mark prior to getting out of the service, and they learn about programs like VIP. And those that are interested, we have a website set up, uavip.org, and we try to push people towards that website. It's set up on based on feedback from applicants and graduates of the program, so it's very helpful and useful. Applications are on there for each installation. We have 9 programs at 7 different installations, and you can get a application, download it, route it through your chain of command, get it approved, and that gets you into the interview queue. We interview everybody that comes into the program, and unfortunately, we interview about 3 or 4 people for every seat that we have available. So, but we do counsel those that don't get into the program about other avenues to an apprenticeship with the UA. such as helmets to hard hats, and applying directly with local unions that they're interested in. Mm-hmm. So the program is designed to give them the job skills and certifications that they need to leverage those great starting positions and justify the direct entry. And it's an 18-week program, 40 hours a week. They come to us as their place of duty, and we train them and get them ready for the apprenticeship program. And we try to line it up to where the graduation date of the class falls within 30 days of their end of service date. So we're getting them trained up, getting them out on the job site, and before those skills perish. We are 100% job placement. Service members that come to us have to be open to relocating. You know, we try to get people where they want to be geographically. But if we can't support them with work in that area, they have to be open to relocating to different areas. And that's part of my responsibility as I work with them. And we ensure a warm handoff and an introduction to the leadership and in the local union they're going to. We get the commitment from the local that they will provide direct entry and employment when the service member arrives at the local. So this is all done 3 or 4 months prior to when they arrive. So it gives the locals time to identify those positions and make sure that we don't miss the mark there.
So it sounds, Mike, like there's no downtime. I mean, you go directly from the military into the Veterans and Piping program, and then it's obviously into the apprenticeship positions. Is that how it works? It's that quick?
Yeah, that's right. We don't want them to go on the unemployment rolls, and we don't want them to start that downward spiral that some veterans do get caught up in. And these programs are a huge commitment for us, but you know, they're also a huge commitment for the military. They're allowing mm-hmm. these folks to come to us and train with us for a job after the military. And I don't know another company that does that, you know, but our military does. So they're a great partner for us.
That's awesome. Okay, that being said, and I kind of touched on this with Will Attig, who you know from the Veterans Council, Union Veterans Council. And that transition, it is difficult for a lot of vets. And maybe there's some things that you don't know about that vet that may get involved in the Veterans in Piping program, maybe some mental health issues that they're underlying. Now, how do you deal with that in this program, Mike?
Well, you know, it just so happens that May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and I'm glad that this topic came up because, you know, we're committed to our service members' success, and that's what makes us successful. And we have had some graduates that have come through that have been struggling, and some in crisis, and some have died from suicide. And, you know, to be quite honest, we got tired of crying about it and decided that we're going to do something about it. So our idea was that we knew we wanted to help people in crisis, you know, especially our students in our programs, and we wanted them to be successful. And so we started with the mental health initiative to arm our instructors with the knowledge to help when people do seek out help from us. And, you know, I think what keeps most people from helping others in crisis is we're afraid that we're going to do damage or cause somebody to commit suicide. And research indicates that the more open, upfront, and honest the communication is about suicide, the more likely it is that that individual is going to seek the assistance that they need. And we, as I said, we launched this mental health initiative to better prepare ourselves to help those folks. And we're working to change the culture within our organization to create a safe and caring culture where all feel secure in asking for help for themselves or others. We need to create this culture to remove the stigma around mental health. You know, mental health, suicide, it's all a bad word, but we're trying to change that. And we do this by normalizing conversations about mental health issues. And one of the ways we do that is through supervisor-led weekly toolbox talks. And we talk about workplace mental health challenges that we know that they're going to be facing or that they are facing. And this lets everyone know that we care and we have their backs and we're there for them. And, you know, the best thing a person can do for someone in crisis is to start a conversation with them and just be prepared to listen. And so, you know, what do you say and what do you do for someone that you're concerned about? You know, starting that conversation is the hardest part. And, you know, just to give the listeners some tools, you know, it should follow safe messaging guidelines. You shouldn't try to solve their problems. You know, hey, I've noticed that you're extremely stressed and I'm concerned. Are you thinking about suicide? And if they open up to you and admit that they are, you know, thank them for trusting you and let them know that they're not alone and that you're there to support them. And, you know, some things that you can do as an organization or even as an individual is to look at the resources that are around you and put those down on paper. So when things like this come up, you're able to access them quickly. You know, most large companies have a employee assistance program, or you can refer them to the National Suicide Prevention Hotline, which is 1-800-273-TALK, 1-800-273-8255. There's also an option where you can text if you don't want to call somebody. I've actually made the call for somebody that did want to talk to somebody but did not want to call. So I got their permission to make the call for them, and then the counselor reached out to them directly. There's also the VA has a great website called suicidepreventionlifeline.org. And there's all kinds of great information for starting the conversation, or, you know, putting some programs into place for your immediate group that helps create that environment where people will seek out help from you.
Well, you gave us a lot of information, and I certainly appreciate it. I know our listeners appreciate it. And again, this is all part of the Veterans in Piping program. And we're talking about the whole person here. You're talking about taking military members who become veterans, and you train them to do a great job in the trades. United Association of Plumbers, Fitters, Welders, Service Techs. I mean, these are good jobs. But with that being said, you've got some transition issues to deal with, and nobody knows, like you indicated, with mental health. That's a tough one to swallow, but it's good to know that Veterans in Piping program is providing that service. UAVIP.org for more information on that. That toll-free number, too, is for the suicide hotline is 800-273-TALK, 800-273-TALK. Like you indicated, Mike, and we've done several shows on this very subject, and there's a lot of outreach out there on behalf of unions like the UA and programs like the VIP program, and it's important that anybody that needs help seeks the help that they need, especially on this day. This is Memorial Day, and a lot of those who went off to defend us did not come home, and those who did come home came home with some problems, and we want to make sure they're well taken care of. All right, my man, you take care. Enjoy the rest of this holiday, and let's talk more down the road on this, all right?
Very good. Thank you for having me on again.
Again, Mike Hazard, who runs the Veterans in Piping program on behalf of the United Association. If you want to get some more information, just go to uavip.org, uavip.org. Well, that's it for another edition of America's Workforce. Coming up tomorrow, the latest from the Ohio, AFL-CIO, and more. Until then, all of you have a safe and wonderful holiday.
That concludes another episode of the America's Workforce Radio Podcast. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe so you never miss a show. America's Workforce is a production of Labor Tools and BMA Media Group. Find out more information online at labortools.com.